Good morning and welcome. I welcome all of you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I'll be leading worship today. John Robbins is our liturgist today. Earl Linhart is directing our choir, and Lynn Meyer is playing the organ. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in the offering plates, which are at the back of the sanctuary here. If you're visiting at home, I invite you to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if you'd like to learn more about this church, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We have a few announcements this morning. First of all, the flowers this morning are given by Peg Duffy in loving memory of her husband, Mike, and we thank her for that gift, brightening up our sanctuary. The crop walk is coming on Sunday, October 2nd, next Sunday at 1 p.m. in Worthington. We are asking people to donate to the walk or to walk, either one. The walk is either 1.5 or 3 miles, depending on your interest and conditioning. If you, you know, giving money to the crop walk, you can make checks out to the Westerville First Presbyterian Church and designate it for crop. Of course, crop fights hunger worldwide, but 25% of what's raised at our crop walk stays here and is donated to the Westerville Area Resource Ministry. You can talk to John Robbins, who's right over there, or contact Bob Place to get more information. Again, that's next Sunday afternoon is our crop walk. While we're looking ahead, mark this date on your calendar. Sunday, October 9th, we are hosting the St. Paul's AME Men's Chorus and a free concert at 4 in the afternoon. We invite you to join us for the concert, followed by a dessert reception. And Dorothy tells me that the chorus has been practicing extra hard just for us, so that should be fun. The Fourth Monday Discussion Group is beginning a new study on the theme of homelessness. We'll be using the book, Grace Can Lead Us Home. If you'd like to be part of the study, you can talk to me following the service. It's held by Zoom on the fourth Mondays of each month at 7:30 p.m. And if you want the book, I think there's still a copy left up in my outer office upstairs, and you can take it. If we run out up there, I will order more books and make a copy of the pages we're going to do in the first lesson for you. If you just want to get the book, that's fine too. You don't have to come to the study, but my guess is you'll be interested to see what the rest of us think about the book. The Fabrics of Faith group will meet tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. in the lower level. You can contact Cheryl Weinberg if you need more information about that. And if you did not get a chance to fill out the Presbytery of Scioto Valley survey, that is a survey of, they're trying to get a survey of all of its members on the interaction between churches and the presbytery. This is part of a discern and assignment project they have for restructuring the presbytery. Anyway, if you did not get a chance to fill out that survey, there is still time. The deadline has been extended to this coming Friday, September 30th. Now, the link has been sent out in the daily emails I've sent, but if you didn't get it, contact the church office and we'll get it out to you. And we do ask that you take the time to fill out the survey, even if many of the questions are ones that you can't really answer. The ones you can, we'll tell them something. The ones you can't, we'll tell them something as well. This Sunday is a special Sunday. At the church. 50 years ago, this church invested in a brand new pipe organ, and we have been the beneficiaries of that ever since. Now, I don't know much about organs, but I do know that we would not be the same church without this organ up there. It has served us in so many ways. It has opened our worship services. It has closed most of them as well. This organ has supported us as we have sung the grand hymns of the church. This organ has given us space for meditation and reflection and prayer. It has inspired our souls. This organ has brought brides and grooms together and sent many of our saints to their eternal home. It has been a treasure for us during these past 50 years, and we hope for many, many years to come. This morning, our organist, Lynn Meyer, who has coaxed so much wonderful music out of this instrument for really more than half of those 50 years, I think, has chosen a prelude and a postlude that will show off the organ. But before we listen to her music, let us rededicate this organ with the litany found in the bulletin. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to declare your steadfast love in the morning, to the music of the lute and the harp. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work.
At the works of your
hands, we sing for joy. Eternal, caring, creator of, caring God, creator of all, we give you thanks.
With the joy of hearts, we thank you, O Lord.
For the faithfulness of the saints who have gone before us, for their generosity of spirit which built up this community of faith. For enhancing our worship of God, for bearing up the melody of psalm and hymn and spiritual song, for celebrating the joys of life and for comforting the sorrows and for the cheering of the faint.
We
Let us begin our music with the prelude, which will be a little extra long, but well worth it.
Thank you.
There's a word for that. It's bravissimo. Let's join together in the prayer of adoration. God, who is our light and our life, we gather again to worship, knowing deep within us that it is to be completed. We need this time, patient waiting for our purpose. In the rest of our world, we need to adore your word,
in the midst of the world and
culture that would shape us and be
us and mold us into
His image. We need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. We are created in your image, O God. We are your children.
Fill our worship with your presence and our lives with your grace.
Be seated. If there was ever a hymn that was needed an organ behind it, that was one of them. So, Any children that are with us today are welcome to come forward and or pay attention online this morning. And we do have a couple up in the balcony, so we're going to wait. And for all those who are at home, it's good to have you with us in our worship today as well. It's a long way from the balcony, isn't it? Glad to have you guys here. Well, I wanted to say that we are, of course, excited about our organ and celebrating that, and we're praising God for our organ. And I was thinking of that phrase where we say, praise God. And I was thinking that's kind of like cheering for your favorite team. When they play a sport, you know, when your team scores a touchdown, you cheer and you go, yay, right? Way to go. Well, when we praise God, we kind of do way to go as well to God for all the good things God has done for us. Mr. Robbins is going to read a psalm here in a minute, Psalm 150. And it talks about various ways to praise God. It says, praise God with the trumpets and with cymbals. And with the harp and the flute and all sorts of instruments, right? So, and we're, of course, using the organ today to praise God. Sounded pretty good, didn't it? To praise God, the organ. So all sorts of musical instruments can be used to praise God. But there's one other instrument that can be used to praise God as well. And that psalm says that at the end, it says, let everything that breathes praise to God. And, of course, what they're talking about is we can use our breaths to praise God. So I thought we'd practice that here. If we say, praise God, all right? I'm going to say it, and then you're going to repeat it, all right? Now, I'm not just you, but all those at home and all the rest of you in the sanctuary. Let's see if we can do this. Praise God.
Praise God.
That's pretty good. Do you think they can do better? I think so, too. Praise God.
Praise God.
That's getting there. Should we try it one more time? All right. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to praise you and for all the wonderful works that you have done and the ways you have blessed us. We ask that you continue to bless us and help us to continue to praise you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to send you guys back, all right?
The Old Testament scripture today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance, and praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everyone and everything that breathes praise the Lord. And the New Testament reading is from, well, actually it's not New Testament, it's an Old Testament. The book of Kings, 1 Kings, verses, first chapter of Kings, verses 28 to 40. Listen to King David when he speaks. King David answered, summon Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king swore, saying, as the Lord lives, who has saved my life from every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, your son Solomon shall succeed me as king, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. So will I do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground and did obeisance to the king, and said, may my lord King David live forever. King David said, summon to me the priest Zadok, and the prophet Nathan, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. And when they came before the king said to him, "Take with you the servants of the Lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. There let the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' And you shall go up in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." And Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, so order. And as the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon. And make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." And so the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan and Benaiah son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and Perethites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and led him to Gibeon. And there the priest Zadok took a horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up following him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth quaked at their noise. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we reflect upon these words of your Holy Scripture, we ask that your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts here this morning. Amen. There's a fascinating scene from the movie The Shawshank Redemption. The main character, Andy Dufresne, a prisoner at Shawshank Prison, has been put in charge of cleaning the warden's office. One day, he is rummaging through some old stuff in the office and comes across a record. And he starts to play it. And then he locks the guard in the bathroom so the guard can't get out. And then Dufresne then turns on the public address system so that everyone in the prison can hear this beautiful music. And while the music is playing, the narrator of the movie says, "For the briefest of moments, everyone in the prison felt free." Such is the power of music, isn't it? Even in the darkest circumstances, music helps us hold on to a better picture of tomorrow. And today, we are celebrating music and its power to move us, its power to bring us closer to God. And I don't think there's anything that quite proclaims the music of worship like a church organ. Many churches may be moving away from the organ in worship, but there are some times that only an organ can provide the mood that worship requires. Christian church scholar Lyle Schaller once told me that even in churches that feature only rock bands and contemporary music, the brides of those churches still want to walk down an aisle to the music of an organ. And when my time comes, I want to be sent out with "For All the Saints" playing on a full organ. Hope someone's taking notes. Organs have been around for a long time. I just found out this week that the first organ preceded the birth of Jesus. The first organ was invented in 250 BC in Alexandria, Egypt, which was then the center of the world's technological knowledge. The organ, called a hydraulis, was powered by water that created the air pressure necessary to force the air through the pipes. By the Middle Ages, organs had become popular in Europe, and manual bellows had replaced water to create air pressure. But it took quite an effort. The organ in Halberstadt Cathedral, built in 1361, for example, required 10 hardworking men to pump the bellows to fill the pipes with air so the organ could be played. Eventually, mechanical air pumps replaced human-operated bellows, but for centuries it took a lot of people to play the organ. Around 1500, mechanical stops were invented, which allowed for more variety and control of the organ by shutting off some pipes and opening others. And it also gave us the phrase, pulling out all the stops, which of course means pulling them all out so they're all part of the music. The Renaissance era is considered the golden age of the organ. During this time, the tonal variety and quality improved, and organs were constructed were masterpieces of art as well as sound quality. This is when the organ became referred to as the king of instruments because of its sheer size, impressive appearance, and the sheer variety of sound that could come out of an organ. Designers have continued to improve on the traditional organ, giving it more range, more variety, more style. With the invention of the electric organ in the 20th century, organs have even become mainstream, with many people having an electric organ in their homes. Organs are found outside the church as well. Theater organs provided background music for the silent movie days. Roller rinks and other entertainment centers have employed organs to enliven the experience. And you can still go to Wrigley Field in Chicago, and during the seventh inning stretch, you can sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" accompanied by an organ. How many have done that, huh? Yeah, there's a few Cub fans here, aren't there? One place that you do not find an organ is in the Bible. I looked, but I didn't find any mention of one. What I did find in the Bible were references to playing instruments in worship, including the pipes, which scholars tell us could be one of several instruments that made sound by a person blowing air through them like a recorder, or over them like a flute. These, of course, were the predecessors of the modern organ, which makes its sound by blowing air through pipes. Psalm 150 declares that we should praise God with all sorts of instruments, trumpets, lutes, harps, tambourine strings, and pipes. There is no doubt that worship in the Old Testament was to be filled with music. The Christian church was also filled with music. Paul tells us that the early church was filled with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs in his letter to the Colossians. Throughout history, music has been integral to the worship of God, from Gregorian chants to Christian rock. Humans have found ways to express their praise of God in music. And all this music, with or without an organ, shouldn't surprise us, because music is a gift from God and has always been part of our worship of God. Music connects us with each other. Nothing has the power to unite humans than singing together. It bonds us together in the act of worship and connects us to certain memories and experiences. Who hasn't heard an old song on the radio and been immediately transported back in time to when you first heard that song? Music also expresses our emotion. Music expresses our joy, our fears, our worries, our excitements. And many times music allows us to express feelings that we cannot otherwise articulate. And music brings hope. Think of how the African American spirituals were the anchors of hope to a people caught in slavery. Or think of how the chance to hear music left the prisoners of Shawshank feeling free, if only for a moment or two. And finally, music is at the center of our praise for God. Psalm 150 fully describes how music becomes our mechanism of praise. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp, the psalm tells us. It goes on to say, praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. All the instruments are to join in praising God. And what better instrument is there than the church organ for giving praise to God? We here are fortunate that our forebears in faith invested in this instrument back here 50 years ago and worked to maintain it and improve it since then. And we are fortunate to have been gifted with a musician who can make wonderful music emerge from this instrument. And we give thanks. In our passage from 1 Kings, we read about the coronation of Solomon, King of Israel. Like any coronation, and like the one that's going to happen in England soon, this coronation was filled with ceremony and celebration. And then we read, there the priest Zadok took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. And then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up following him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth quaked at their noise. Now, I know the pipes mentioned in this story were not organ pipes, but selfishly, I like to think they were. I like to think that old priest Zadok told the musicians to pull out all the stops and make the pipes blow the roof off so that the earth quaked at their noise. Thankfully, Lynn knows how to play our organ so that it won't blow the roof off. However, I do know that there have been many times when I have quaked in my heart at the music that she has played. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. We come together in this time of prayer, and as we do, we lift up those in particular need of prayer. O Lord, hear our prayers. In the cool of the morning, O God, we praise you for creation, for hills tinged with autumn, for skies filled with birds, for lakes deep and cold, for pumpkins and gourds and sheaves of corn. Even now, as we wait before you in this worship place, we are aware of your creation, the pumping of our hearts, the breathing of our lungs, the comfort of our seats. For all this, we give you thanks and praise. Grant us this morning as we worship you that beauty and goodness and truth may triumph in our lives and that the presence of Christ will transform us into noble servants in your name. Grant that all who face difficulties on this day might find their challenges transformed by the power of your love. And grant all that celebrate joys on this day may find their joy is in tune with the joy of all creation. We pray particularly for those whom we mentioned this morning, the sick and the grieving, the victims of hurricanes and other tragedies, the lost and the lonely, the broken and the angry. Heal the broken in body and in spirit. Bring hope to the downtrodden, possibilities to the oppressed. Help all who call on your name to find their strength renewed. As we pray together in Christ's name, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. And please join me in our closing hymn. Thank you. I'm going to ask you all to be seated because we have a wonderful postlude. When you do go from this place, go with the music in your hearts and share in whatever way you can that joy with the rest of the world. Amen. And this is from the congregation. While we are celebrating the organ itself, we know that organ doesn't make music by itself. It makes music. But someone with your talent, and we appreciate that you've put all the work into doing this. Those flowers appeared to me, so. But they're for you from this congregation as a thank you. A small thank you from all of them for the gift you've just given to them and through the years as well. So, amen, and God bless all.